A reading from the book of John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, what a great day in the house of the Lord. There are people in the pews. There are songs on the lips. And because we are still doing it masked and safely with care for one another, I know that it is music in God's ears. I told the choir the other night that this sanctuary has missed their voices. The human voice is an instrument, just as the organ is an instrument. And this whole sanctuary is an instrument also. And when the three come together, there is a great symphony chorus, which the angels join in hallelujah praise. And what a day for it to happen. On Pentecost, the great day, 50 days after Easter Sunday, when the Bible says the believers were all together in one place. Amen. And suddenly from heaven came the mighty rushing sound of the Holy Spirit among them. And the next thing they knew, the Spirit was moving not only among them, but also among the thousands of other Jews who had come to Jerusalem from many different nations and languages and continents and cultures. And it is culture that I want to speak to you about this morning. The inspiration for what I want to say comes from two places. H. Richard Niebuhr's classic book, Christ and Culture, from which this sermon gets its name, and our friend and global Pentecost offering beneficiary, Bishop Malkos Tsongalishvili, whose book on the history of Evangelical Baptists in the Republic of Georgia tells how Christ's gospel can be cultural and countercultural and transcultural all at one time and in one place. And place is important. As Wendell Berry says, things take place. And when we think about a place, what we are really thinking about is its culture. Culture is an agronomous term. When we talk about the soil and the earth and the atmospheric conditions of a particular place, we are talking about agriculture. Culture is the diverse and particular conditions in which something is grown indigenously, or if introduced from the outside, must have in order to survive. And from the very beginning of the church story, as I said earlier today, this is the birthday of the church on Pentecost. We understand that the gospel is an enculturated message for a particular people in particular places. We see this in the Pentecost story. The Bible says that all heard in their own languages, and what was spoken in their own tongues. So then, by extension, it was determined very early on in Christian history that the Bible in Christianity would be different from the Quran in Islam, in that it can be translated into many languages and still be called Holy Scripture. We can hear it in our own languages and speak it in our own tongues and sing about it with our own songs because we trust that the Holy Spirit is at work as the ultimate translator of God's gospel for all God's people in all God's places at all God's times. So Christianity is diverse. It's orthodox and deeply mysterious in the East and straightforward and democratic in the West. It's emotional in the South and a little stiff in the North. In some places, it is very bodily. In other places, it is very cerebral. And it is a serious sin of cultural prejudice and often racial supremacy when it is presumed that one form of expression is somehow more holy or edifying or authentic than any or all of the others. My great uncle Roy Bass was quite a character, and he used to joke, "Well, they worship in their way and we worship in the Lord's." That may make us laugh, but we know that it isn't true. True worship, Jesus says, to God, is neither one way or another, but is always done with spirit and in truth. And the truth is that there are varieties of Christian experiences, but the spirit of Christ himself can be found in the spirit of all places and peoples and cultures, right down to what my old divinity school dean Willie Jennings used to call the very bones of our words. But just as Christianity can be cultural, it can also be countercultural. This was the case in the Pentecost story also. The Spirit came, but it did not come in the authorized way. It did not come in the socially acceptable way. It came crossing boundaries and subverting the order. A strong wind came pushing against cultural norms. All were amazed and perplexed, the Bible says, wondering what it could mean, while some mocked and sneered, saying, "These people are crazy. They're drunk acting." But that didn't stop those who believed, because they had been filled with a new wine of something that was so beautiful and something so life-giving and something so whole and full-hearted and full of love, which they knew they needed to share. I've been thinking about that all this week. One of the great gifts the church has given me is the gift of being able to tell other men that I love them. And to be able to hear from other men as they say the same to me. You talk about countercultural. I didn't grow up with that. Not in West Texas. Hyper-masculinity is cultural. But love and kindness and tenderness and affection and childlike joy, these things are countercultural and also life-giving. And I have to wonder, you know those guys who stormed the Capitol on the 6th of January? Did they ever have anyone to show them anything other than a hard-hearted way? Did they ever hear someone tell them that they love them in Christ? How would they and their leader and this nation be different if they allowed themselves, as is said of the Israelites in the story today, to be cut to the heart? Hard-heartedness killed Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And if we do not have a countercultural and revolutionary outpouring of love to come and fall down upon this land, then hard-heartedness is going to kill our country too. We are standing within the walled city of one of the most hard-hearted places in America, North Texas. And I pray that the Spirit of God's great love would come and pierce armored hearts, that people would awaken to see the wrong of what they are doing, repent and be baptized, be taken to church, and have their sins forgiven. That we as a people might live in hope and in peace together in this place. That's countercultural and it's revolutionary and it's the only thing that can save us from ourselves. Finally, the gospel of Christ is not only cultural and countercultural, it is also transcultural, which Bishop Malkaus defines as the receiving and the giving of cultural and liturgical achievement through mission freely and without coercion. We know that it is a scandal that in 2021, the 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour in America. Now, the reasons for this are complex and painful. Some of this was done to us, and some we did ourselves. Sometimes it was done for the sake of self-preservation. There's a need for safe spaces like the space that was created when Richard Allen left the balcony of St. George's Methodist Episcopal Church in Philadelphia to form an African Methodist Episcopal Church across the street. So the black church was then born, and it has been a great gift to America ever since. And I wouldn't want to see that end. But I still hold out hope for more multicultural expressions of Christianity. There is a place for them too. And I believe that much of America's hope resides in that vision. We need churches which can show us how to bridge the cultural and racial chasm that is dividing this nation. We at Broadway have now not just once but twice affirmed explicit statements on our desire to more culturally and racially exist in diversity. Only God knows if it will happen. But I know that the only way that it can happen is by us being open to the movement of God's Spirit. And at least a part of what that means is doing away with the mindset that says, I don't mind if they come just so long as we don't have to change. That's not the way that hospitality works. It's not the way that community works. A true transcultural Christian community has to be open to the exchange of the many voices and experiences and stories and songs that come through the variety of God's people in God's Spirit. And I would say the Chants Choir did a pretty good job of it this morning. St. Paul said there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the sake of the common good. All people and cultures and races have gifts. And it is for the sake of our common good that the Spirit opens us to recognize and receive those gifts, not only in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, but everywhere and at all times, whenever and wherever we find ourselves in the company of those who may be different from us in culture, but are the same as us in Christ. We give thanks for the cultures that gave us Bach and Beethoven and Brahms. And we give thanks for the cultures that gave us Southern Appalachian folk and spirituals and Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound of it all. But there are yet so many more sounds to be heard and more tongues to speak. And a great and perpetual Pentecost that is more than just one day, but a whole eternity with us all together. And we will then on that day worship together in our own ways and also in the way of the Lord. On Friday, Irie put a picture up on Facebook from our wedding, which took place 16 years ago this past week. Happy sweet 16, Irie. The picture is of us and the band at our wedding. Music is something which we fretted over in the planning because we wondered, what were we going to do? My folks like Willie Nelson and George Strait, which we didn't know what they would do with then her folks' kind of music, which was the Commodores and George Clinton, and vice versa. So you know what we did? We squared on a mariachi band, which nobody knew what to do with. But it was a wonderful and beautiful thing. It was a cultural thing. It was a countercultural thing. And it was a transcultural thing. God was doing something new. It was the first Saturday after Pentecost, and the Spirit was doing a new thing. And my deep, deep prayer is that Pentecost-like experience will not only be a thing of the past, but also a thing of the future, to which I hope the Spirit and the bride will both say, yes, Lord, let it be. Let it be with us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all and all of God's people then said, amen.